So back to what I was saying. What I was saying.
But you have life experience. Mm-hmm. You know what works and what didn't work. And if every parent goes into this, like, I will make sure you have everything that you need to be 10 times better than I am. Mm-hmm. If that is your goal, you're not going to go wrong. Back to what I was saying. What's up, what's up, what's up, friends, family, and fans? Welcome to Life on Podcast. This is where we listen and inspire friends in entertainment.
And everywhere.
Yeah, because life had, boy, does life happen to everyone.
Boy.
That's a little side conversation.
Big ups to having homies around when you need to talk about life.
Hey,
life,
that's what homies are for, man, because life is life. But yeah, man, welcome. So I am your host. Today, I'm your co-host, Stone Stafford. We're going to give the hosting duties today to Mr. Johnny Vaughn.
No, I'm, I don't want to.
I am.
Johnny Vaughn. So anyway, welcome. As you just saw, there is a problem in America, in black culture. No, but seriously, it's nothing new, but we're at this point now where when we get to the point where the, what do you call it again, your goal, when you want to aspire, mm-hmm. when the aspirations of your young people is to be ratchet, mm-hmm. and to do ratchet stuff, when that becomes a goal, like an aspiration, we got to wake up. And here, this is the part that is bothering me, because it's the same old, same old, same old. It can't be the older people that wake up. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, why is it the older people that wake up? It's because we've lived life. We know what works. We know what doesn't. We know. So we have experience. And with experience, more often than not, there comes wisdom, hopefully, and insight. So that's why I typically have older people.
Should be a byproduct of.
But what I was so proud of is I was talking with some high school girls at a high school I was speaking at. Mm-hmm. And I forgot how this artist Sexy Red and Sukihana, their little ratchet song came up. But when we brought it up, one of the girls was like, oh, I can't stand her. And I ain't gonna lie, it took me off guard. I mean, because these girls are like 17, 16, yep. 17, whatever. I was like, for real? She go, oh, yeah. And the other girl was like, yeah, like, what is she even doing? Like, And they just started going on just how gross she was. And I was like, y'all don't like that? She goes, they're like, no. And they was just going in. And I was like, wow. See, I thought y'all be kind of into that stuff. She goes, oh, my God, no. And so they started going on why they didn't like. And my heart was so full, mm-hmm. and so happy hearing these. And look.
I saw it through the post. I don't know how many.
I did share.
Faces.
That's yeah. right. I did share the post. I sure did. And so, look, everything I'm about to say is not a direct attack at the
it is.
Person.
Yes, it is.
And let me. Here's why: at the person of a Sexy Red or a Sukihana and any other artist that falls in that line. Okay. It's not a person-to-person attack. And one reason why I want to say that is because you don't know someone's background. You don't know someone's history, and you don't know someone's, what's so real, childhood trauma even, yes. which they might not even recognize as a trauma. So we are who we are because of...
It only took 60 episodes for you to agree with me, but you finally did. So we...
Well, the difference is, just because I have that understanding doesn't mean I'm letting you off the hook. Because you get to an age where you know right from wrong.
Fair enough.
You know good from bad. You know evil from not evil.
Actually, you know what? Do you, though? I'm asking.
Maybe
that.
I should say should.
Should
you I think should know right from
yeah,
wrong?
Because one thing that I'm noticing with dealing with when that conversation comes up now, mm-hmm. because people ask me how do you feel about it, and I've gotten to a point now to where I almost ignore it. I don't even pay attention to that, because just like you were almost unaware that there would be kids that thought it was grotesque and detestable, mm-hmm. and didn't like it and would go off. I know that exists because I see people all the time that they shun it. They don't pay attention to it. They say, I'm sure. just not going to let my kids see this. I'm not going to let my little cousin see this.
Sure.
And there's responsibility being taken. So I try not to talk about it. So when I saw it come across the screen as a topic of conversation, I was like, well, now I got to talk about it. Because that's what ends up happening. The way it gets perpetuated is because it becomes remarkable. And it's only remarkable because we start making remarks about it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, remarkable doesn't mean amazing.
No.
It means, yeah.
We're making remarks.
And I'm going to like that too, because I don't want to talk about it. So, and yeah, talking about it is going to put more shine on her and da, 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 da. And that's not my goal, obviously. But you can't address a problem without talking about it. So it's a catch 22.
You kind of can though. And I'm discovering that, because what you do is you don't address the thing that's becoming the perpetuated event. And you just work on changing the mindset. And I'm gonna use Twitter and Instagram and all of the social medias as the example. The big thing over in the East, when they were talking about, oh, we get hacked in America and the algorithms are different and they're going to show us all the ratchet stuff, but the kids over there are seeing kids doing engineering
math problems.
That's and that's what they see. So they glorify that. They don't know about Suki Hana and Sexy Red. And I'm not saying don't know about them. I'm saying that when you have minds that are impressionable, that don't have a they should know by now time frame, that they're leaning on us for guidance to give them whatever they're sponging, then yeah, they should be cut off.
See, and that's part of the problem too, though.
What you got?
The people that they're leaning on are becoming more and more questionable with every generation.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know if I can agree with that either. And I'll say this, because in the 80s, Ratchet was just different. Everybody wanted to be Nino Brown. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wanted to be the drug dealer who was giving out turkeys at Thanksgiving.
Right.
But at the same time, you still wanted the Cadillac that was candy apple red with the rims
on. And you don't agree that there are levels to ratchetness?
Well, what I will agree with is that the level of ratchetness is being shifted to what's being shown. But that same stuff was also still visible then.
But that's... Yeah, was it though?
I think so.
Well, first of all, there's nothing new under the sun. I was going to say, there's nothing new under the sun.
And that's what I'm saying.
So what we're saying isn't new.
If you was at the Bando, if you was at the Bando or Trap House, you saw Sexy Red at the Bando or the Trap House. If you had to walk past it, they were there.
The exposure is on another level.
That I'll give you. Absolutely. Right. No question about that. And that's going to continue. I don't think it's going to grow anymore. I think we're at that critical mass point where I don't know how much more exposure access you can have, because every screen has access to everything now.
Right.
So we've got floating screens in the air that's got nonsense on it nonstop. I think we're kind of at that peak, and I could be wrong, but I think that's where we are.
See, and this is where, if it's ever been true before, it's true now, is that it truly, truly, truly does have to start in the home at this point.
No question.
Because the moment, and the thing is, you don't have to go outside of your door anymore. But I've always had an issue, even with my own family and stuff, where they just let their kids just sit on the phone. Like, I know you don't, they're not looking at science freaking experiments. You know what I mean? You're not dumb.
Yeah.
But for you to think that it's, and look, I get it. People always get on me because I'm not a parent, right? I've raised kids, you know, in my home 4 years, my own nephews and stuff like that. So it's not that I'm clueless as to what parenting is. You know, I've been around kids and dealing with kids, mentoring kids and raising kids all my life. So I'm not clueless as to what parenting is. However, not having the responsibility of a child 24 hours a day, that I haven't lived that life for an entire kid's life.
Right.
So yeah, sometimes you just get tired. Even when I have my nephew, yeah, I got tired. Sometimes I was like, look, go ahead, because I didn't feel like dealing with it. But there's been plenty of times when I felt like doing that and I didn't, because I knew who I was molding.
Right.
And so I just said, look, I took on this responsibility to help my sister with this kid, and I'm going to live up to that responsibility. And the same thing is, look, I took on the responsibility to have this kid. Mm-hmm. So look, it's going to be inconvenient. It's going to be frustrating. It's going to be, I don't want to do it, but I got to do it. It's going to be tons of those moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, if you truly understand who you're molding, you're going to be like, put your phone down. I don't care how much they whine and crying or whatever. Whine and cry.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they ain't got no job. Be like, I'll tell you what, you can watch the phone as much as you like when you buy your phone.
Yeah.
You know that ain't happening anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
But when you realize what it's molding, and the thing is, what I used to tell my nephew all the time is consistency wins. Yeah. I was like, yo, you can try to do what you want. I said, I will out-consistent you.
Mm-hmm.
If that's I'll out-consistent you. You're right. I'm not making it up. But I told her, I said, you will not be more consistent than I am with you where you're concerned, because I know what's at stake. You're not old enough and wise enough to fully grasp what's at stake. So I kind of have that over you.
Mm-hmm.
Going in on that whole soapbox to say,
hey,
that we are at a point where, yeah, Sugihanas and your and not only, you know, let me stop just naming them. They just have kind of one of the most ratchet songs out right now. That's why they're getting it. But if you dig deep enough, there's plenty of them out there. So that's why you can't just think, oh, it's not really affecting them. I mean, look at the video you just watched. This is a 9-10-year-old kid. Where do you think he got that from, the desire to be ratchet? Where do you think he got it from?
Yeah.
Now, granted, he could live in a household where his mom and dad are ratchet. I don't know. But either way, the influence is there.
Even in my number one issue with that video was the audacity to say, I wanted to do this because I wanted to do ratchet stuff and it was fun. But then the ignorance that was shown of just a child at the end when they were like, well, you know, your grandma's going to have to pay for all of that. Right. And he said, like, well, can't my mom help her? And that shows the disconnect.
But at 10, only, you expect them to be disconnected like that.
Well, no. But I mean, this is where the education apart from at home, I think, is very important. Is my, and I'm not trying to hold anybody's standard to what I do with my son, because some people think that I'm extreme. But my son is able to weigh cost and effect and cause and effect. Of, okay, if I do this fun, what's gonna happen? Is this good fun or is this bad fun? And he goes through those processes, but now does he still try me? Of course, he's 9. But when it's time to have a conversation about it, he will ask, did I do something that's gonna cost you something? Like, he's asked.
But go back to what I said. You and Gwen, his parents, said, we had this child.
Correct.
We realized that it's going to be inconvenient. We're going to have to go above and beyond. We're going to have to do what we don't feel. You've accepted that and accountability and responsibility fully. You're not just like, I put a roof over your head and food in your mouth and clothes on your back.
Right.
I did my job.
The acceptance part is that it's going to be more difficult for us than it was for our parents with us because of the access.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, my son's got an iPad. He's got an iPhone. He's got 2 laptops. Yes, he's well connected with stuff. He does have screen time limits. He has to earn certain, like he has to read a certain amount of pages in order to buy time to have free time outside of, now he's homeschooled, so his schooling happens online. And so there's some responsibility that's put on him to make sure that he's taking care of what he's given. But, and we also allow him that leeway as well, but I can also watch everything he does.
But what I see y'all do, and a lot of other parents do that some parents don't, is you're not just limiting access, but I've seen y'all get him involved to alternatives.
Absolutely.
You can't just take away.
No, absolutely.
And then not give something and to fill the gap.
Something. Correct.
Excuse me. So it's not just about, well, he has a timer on his phone, or, well, these sites are blocked, or, oh, da 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 da. It's not just that. Yeah. Well, what's he doing in the meantime? Exactly. My mom used to make us do book reports during the summer.
Okay.
Did I hate it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
No question.
Absolutely. I don't think I'm the most stupidest guy in the world.
Saying stuff like that.
No, I'm doing it on purpose. I'm trying to relate. I'm trying to relate.
I mean, if that's what your language is going to
evolve to. I don't think I'm the most stupider guy in the world.
You found 3 ways to mess that up.
But I know a little something.
Sure.
But I also attribute to some of the little things. A book that I just suggested to you before we came on, right? Mm-hmm. How to Win Friends, Influence People. Right. First time I ever heard of that book was my mom.
Okay.
She tried to get me to read that book, Think and Grow Rich, Acres of Diamond, Greatest Salesman in the World, and I can go on and on, all since I was in like 10, 11, 12 years old. Are you kidding me? What 10, 11, 12 year old wants to read those things?
Right.
But then she started making me do book reports. And with my mom, you did, she was an old school mom, so you did what she was told.
Right.
If you wanted to live. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But now I find myself recalling those things.
Yeah,
because she gave me no choice.
They become core memories.
You don't whine to my mom. You didn't complain. If you had an attitude, you got your lip busted. Mm-hmm. Y'all can get soft on me if you want with the capital punishment, but you're sitting here listening to my podcast right now, and some of y'all are emailing and texting us talking about how great our information is. Well, guess what? It's the product of Geraldine Stafford busting my lip. So take it what you want. But anyway, I get it. That's a whole nother
thing. And the statute of limitations is up, so she's not going to jail for beating you down.
Right. So look, I'm joking where all that stuff's concerned. You train your child according to your job.
Absolutely.
But my whole thing is, you can't just take away the stuff. You have to give it. And sometimes, look, y'all, this is the part where I feel is missing. And we're on parenting, because parenting is the first line of defense, where this whole ratchetness that's taking over Black culture, it's going to be the first line of defense. You have to make your kids do stuff. it's okay. Please stop listening to these new counselors and mental health and all this. We're putting all these titles on it so that we can coddle our kids. You have to make your kids do stuff. You have to force your kids to do stuff. None of this, what do you call it when your kids can divorce your parents again and all that kind of stuff? Emancipation?
Yeah.
Screw all that stuff, all right? It is your job to mold your kid for the future. It is your job. A lot of these kids now are making it today because of the childhood trauma. And childhood trauma isn't always just treating your kid bad. Mm-hmm. It's also not giving your kid everything that they can that you could have given them.
Right.
Because there are some parents who don't have it as good as other parents, right?
Absolutely.
You don't have the resources. You don't have maybe the opportunities and the access. But you have life experience. Mm-hmm. You know what works and what didn't work. And if every parent goes into this, like, I will make sure you have everything that you need to be 10 times better than I am. Mm-hmm. If that is your goal, you're not going to go wrong. You're not going to go wrong.
It's also a thing you can't overlook is that you grow with your kids. And most parents ignore that aspect of it because once you become a parent, I'm the adult, they're the child. I admit to my son all the time, listen, man, I don't know what we're doing. We're going to figure this thing out together.
Facts.
So how you feeling? What am I doing to screwing this up for you? This is what I need you to do. Now, let's figure out how we can function together. Now, I'm still his parent. I'm still his dad.
Right.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, what I say is going to go.
Right.
But the challenge comes, it goes to the replacement. I don't just take stuff from him. Mm-hmm. I have to get creative enough to make sure I'm still engaging him when I remove something. Because when I remove something that he wants, obviously that's going to trigger now I'm upset at my dad. Mm-hmm. I also don't have what I want. So now I'm just mad. It forces you to grow and become a creative parent to try to not so much force your kid to do it. Kids can be made to want to do things they don't want to do if you figure out how to spin it. And I mean, I hate to say it's going to be work, but it is because their attention spans change so fast. What they want to actually do changes. So it forces you to not only remain engaged, but to grow with them. So you're keeping pace with what that is. And it does. I'm not going to act like it's not time consuming because
total time consuming.
There's so much research that goes, like, everything he does, every tap he makes on his computer when he's in school, I can see all of it. I can see how much time he was on something before he looked for help. I can see how long he spent on a glossary page. I can look at all of that stuff. And I can also tell when, okay, this is what he just said, F it. Like, he tapped it on that page. This is nothing but definitions, and it stayed there for 20 minutes. He went and did something else. And I have to take all of that to see, okay, at some point, he's burning out. I have to interject something or inject something to not only keep him engaged or either just change what we're doing completely.
And just have fun.
And exactly.
Because not every single thing is a life lesson. Everything is a life lesson, but it doesn't have to be presented as
such. It doesn't have to be presented as that.
No.
And that's the difficult part that I've seen a lot of my friends do is they've got the mindset of I'm an adult. And yeah, you're an adult when you're with kids, but then, you know, let's not act like we don't collapse into I don't know what's going on when we buy ourselves.
The thing is,
I was just going to say, I take the approach of being 100% upfront. Like, listen, man, I'm not sure if this is going to work or not. This is what I think is going to work best. Let's get this a shot.
Right.
And I do whatever I can with him so that he's not feeling like he's being told to do something. And that was the number one thing. Like, when I was still playing sports, when I had coaches that wouldn't do workouts with us, I didn't respect those coaches.
Right.
But when I had a coach that could outrun me, that forced me to work hard.
Right.
Because the person who was telling me to do it, whenever the general is as skilled as he's trying to make his soldiers.
That's leadership. For sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's all parenthood is.
And what a lot of parents, and this is where I think the line gets blurred with parents today. And again, we're going to move from parenting to the next thing. But again, I think parenting is the number one, the first level of defense. Mm-hmm. When you're like, yeah, I tell my son, hey, I'm trying to figure it out too, this and that. Where that gets blurred, what I find in a lot of parents today, and these are things that I see with my own eyes, so I'm not just making general statements, is you have to stay sensitive to the word familiarity. Mm-hmm. That's where it breaks down being a parent. The moment your child becomes familiar with you, that's when the respect goes out the window. That's when they forget who's in charge, who's the leader, who's the authority.
Sure.
So I'm all for sitting down having a conversation with your child. I'm all for getting your child's opinion. I'm all for that. But you have to learn how to do it. And look, key word is some of y'all need to learn how to do it because there is a way to do it, right?
Yeah, that stupid word I just can't stand.
Yeah, you got to learn.
Crap that they say. Right. No, it's not even learning. It's boundaries. I don't like the word, but it's that. It's learning how to do that.
There is that because really the moment that familiarity sets in, parents letting your kids call you by your first name, letting them cuss around you, it's not about the cussing. It's just that they think they're on the same level with you where they can cuss with you. Mm-hmm. That's that familiarity that sets in. Right. And that's when you can't do that. And I'm not a psychologist, so I can't go into the deep, deep realms of what that is. But you just can't do that. And it's not a new age thing. It's not a new parenting thing. You cannot imagine you being. That's why some of your bosses and leaders in the military, that's why they don't hang out with you. That's why they don't go to ball games with you all the time. Because the familiarity sets in. Mm-hmm. And what if you are a great leader, right? You run a great team. But what if you can't do what they do better than they can? Mm-hmm. Right? They'll never know that if they're not hanging out with you all the time. So familiar. But the moment they're at your house all the time, then you realize, oh, well, his life ain't really all that together. Mm-hmm. Respect's out the window, homie. Next time you really need them to do it just because you said do it, they're like, I seen your little home life. You know what I mean? Or I've mm-hmm. seen you. Familiarity can't get there.
Yeah.
So that's why we're stuck on a parenting thing. After that, it's going to, Elle's going to go to social media media in general.
Okay.
We have a responsibility. And what we have to understand is as long as it's going to make money.
To make money.
Media doesn't give a crap.
No, not at all.
Can y'all please get that through your thick heads? Okay. As long as you're making media money, they don't care about the welfare
correct.
Of your child.
Right.
All right. So I mean, we get, because this is why it's so important. You know, Sexy Red's gonna get up there talking about some, oh yeah, we need Trump in office and wooty wooty woo. I'm gonna sit there and tell you right off of that statement right there, we need Trump back in office. I'm not gonna flat out be like, no, we don't, you're wrong. I understand there's gonna be a lot of black people who are gonna be like, Stone, what? Da, da, da. Look, I'm going through something right now with my studio where the loan that we're gonna get now is nowhere near, well, not the special deal I told you about, but mm-hmm. traditionally, there's nowhere near we could have gotten it. But when Trump was in office, I could have gotten it.
That money was flowing, boy.
I could have gotten it. Yeah. So, look, you ain't going to shame me. As a business person, there are some things that Cheeto did that benefited me. I don't care who the heck you are. You will not get me to move on that.
I understand.
I couldn't stand a lot of the other crap, but there were some benefits I got from that dude. Same here. So, but her talking about something, oh, yeah, Trump needed about all this free money. Free money? Like that. See, the thing is, you don't know what you're talking about, first of all. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, you got all these kids who love you now and that are listening to what you're ignorant behind is saying. That's when now we go from dangerous to detrimental.
Yeah.
Because now it's like, now not only is it a bad influence, but now it's influence where people are going to act off of what you're saying mm-hmm. with your ignorant self. You see what I'm saying? That's when it becomes dangerous. You know what I mean? So, the thing with black culture is like we are culture. Mm-hmm. We influence culture, right? But then we want to take that influence and twist and corrupt it with ignorant stuff. Then when the results start manifesting themselves, get mad at the man. When we influence the man every day, all day, black people, we influence the man. People go, the man, they make marketing and business decisions based off of what we do and what we as a culture buy. Please understand that. Half of their strategy is built off, well, what are black people into? What are black people going to buy? Well, what do we need to keep black people out of? Whatever it is, we are an influential factor in their equation. And all we gonna do is, nigga, 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 my booty hole brown. I wanna kill everyone that looks like me. Stab right, killer, F you, blah, blah. That's what we give them. Please make it make sense.
I don't think you need to make it make sense. You asked a very interesting question in setting this up was, are they good for black culture? And I love the way you phrase it because I know what the answer to that is from you. Mine, I'm gonna say something extremely controversial.
Say it.
I think that they are all of this, all of the hyper ratchet stuff is very good for black culture because it's gotten to the point to where it's so bad that you can't help but reflect a mirror on yourself now and say, is this really what we want to do?
I knew you were going to say
that. So one of two things is going to happen. either you're going to have a conglomeration of people that says yes, and it's going to activate that people, that, that group of people to actually get out and do what people like Dr. Boyce Watkins are doing with the All Black National Conference that I just got a chance to do some stuff for a couple of weeks ago, where their whole thing is bringing black people together and teaching them about the power of the black dollar and everything black, and how to invest in multifamily homes and how to start building generational wealth. Or are they going to just keep listening to Sexy Red's music? One or the other. Now, the funny thing about it is they played Sexy Red's music at this event. It was some of the walk-in fun music. They had a party. But at the same time, every single breakout session was about generating wealth. So I think it's good for the culture, because it's at that point now to where it, after a while, something gets so bad, you have to analyze it. Whether you know it or not, if it's coming from a perspective of ignorance, you'll look at it and see, hey, I'm living where I'm living. I have access to what I have access to. This is what I'm liking. But they got more than me, and they doing something else. That stuff is always obvious.
Now you being a stone now.
Well,
you're putting faith that the people are going to have the wherewithal to look in that mirror.
It's going to happen. Now, I'm not saying how many people, but you know how they say the sign, if somebody doesn't know how to read a poison sign and they eat the poison anyway, then you know that's evolution's taking care of itself.
I see.
Sometimes the herd needs to be culled in order for the good to actually blossom.
Well, here's why I think
that may be the wrong thing to say in that situation, but I'm gonna
no. I know. And thing is, I get your point. And again, the reason why I'm saying you sounded like Stone, because that sounds like the optimistic view.
Well, I'm not being optimistic at all. That's what's going to happen. I mean,
I think it's going to happen, but I don't think it's going to happen because our culture stood up and stood up for our culture. Because one, that's been happening for years. You can't, especially in Atlanta, you can't turn left or right without finding a pro-black culture.
Absolutely.
As it is. So that's been happening for real. Why is it not working? Well, the reason why it's not working, again, like we always keep saying,
it is working. It's just not working.
Well, on a microcosmic level, it's not working exponentially.
Exactly.
Right. Or expeditiously, I should say.
There you go.
Right. And the reason why is something that you're going to hear a lot of people always say is because at the end of the day, and we've said it in one of our earlier podcasts, is that media controls the hearts and minds of men. Now, the reason why I think the mirror is going to be looked into isn't because black folks said, hey, we need to do better. I think it's going to be because of what's happening right now. Labels have now dropped, and this labels, I'm talking about music now specifically, right? Mm-hmm. But labels, the signing of these types of artists have plummeted. And I forget the article that actually, it wasn't even an article. It was an attorney that was reading at one of the largest entertainment or law firms in the country. And of course, they have a huge entertainment segment. But the attorney was telling me that the type of music, particularly rap, right, that is being put out now is actually now becoming dangerous to brands. So now, and even to label, because at this point, look, the label don't care about you being a great artist. They just want the stuff that sells. The moment that brands and big companies stop associating with that type of music and those type of artists, labels aren't going to sign them. Labels aren't signing them.
What did I just say?
Anyway.
It's getting so bad.
What I got from what you were saying was that that pivot was going to come from within the black community, not.
Okay, so you're right. I didn't say clearly.
Okay.
And this was, I knew the conversation was going to get to this point anyway. It's going to get to the point to where it's so bad to where it's going to be ostracized by everything.
Right.
And once that begins to happen, it's no longer a source of I can get what I want from that. And that goes all the way down from getting out of the hood, if that's where you're from, and you want to be able to move into the middle class, you know, uptown or wherever it's at. Or if companies that have artists drinking or wearing their products, and then now it's bringing on a negative light and it's costing them money. Both of those things are going, they're happening.
Right.
So that's what I was getting. It was more so a generalization that I was using, so I should have been more specific.
Now, the beautiful thing about social media is, let's take social media out of the picture. Okay. One of the things a lot of people didn't understand with, because if people say, oh, rap is always talking about drugs and guns and da da da. Well, understand the timeline.
Sure.
First, rap was a news reporter, right? Then rap became, well, let me make the news and then report on it. Then rap became, well, I ain't a part of the news, but I'm going to report on it and act like I was. Right? So it went from this is what's going on and y'all just don't care, so we're going to tell y'all what's going on, mm-hmm. to we glorified it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 100%. And then the glorification just became uber perverted.
Right.
All right. So now we're like, oh, we can just talk about whatever we want now. Right. So that's what's happened with the whole thing. Oh, my point in going through all that was to say,
I was sitting here with bated breath.
Yeah, because like it was the evolution of where. And so the good thing about social media is what we didn't have before social media is when we have rappers that did that and they blew up. Mm-hmm. Right. Understand that when your money and your socioeconomic level jumps, you're in a different world. And all praise like to God, our creator, and everything. Like, we are now starting to, in the beginning footsteps, we're at the very bottom of that, of getting into that world. But I'm learning so much, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, it's a different level of thinking. It's a different level of operating. It's a different mentality. And this is why we blame rappers once they blow up, say like a Jay-Z or anyone, and we'd be like, oh, you changed, you different. You don't hang around the same people.
Damn right.
And it's not even someone says you don't want to. You can't. Literally can't.
You can't.
You literally can't keep hanging around the same people on that level. Like, you cannot, right? So when that happened, but what happens is we don't see the meetings now that they take. Mm-hmm. We don't see the business deals that they're doing in the world and stuff they're operating. But thank goodness now with social media, a lot of that is being shared now. You know, now you have someone like who's the guy, say Jason Derulo. Mm-hmm. All these posts now talking about his car washes and stuff going mm-hmm. on. Yeah, that's not sexy, right? And you know, and Jay-Z has been open about some of his business practices and how he's growing and stuff like that.
Yeah, this happened with a bunch of them. You had that run where Chamillionaire stuff came out. They were talking about all the Chamillionaire stuff.
So now we can see the things that's going on. And so that's the good thing about, but I think that needs to be amplified like even more, and shout out to people like EYL and stuff like that try to bring that kind of stuff to the forefront. But that kind of stuff needs to come to the forefront more, because one thing I'm going to tell y'all right now, we need to do a podcast on this, where tech is going with music. Look, this, I'm going to save it for that podcast, because this is a fugazi. When you think these labels want you to go out there and make money and be successful, and they're trying to put you in a position to make money, it's not for the reason that you think. So we'll talk about that. And so now we have these little kids coming in to rap, and they only know one thing to rap about, right? I mean, you got 10-year-old kids calling girls bees mm-hmm. and going down on me on your little 1.5-inch PP. Let's call it what it is, right? Like, and literally you rapping about it. Mm-hmm. And there are parents behind it pushing it. But you don't, well, why do you think they're doing it? Because again, it's not about success anymore. We still think clout and fame is success. So we got to teach the difference there, right? That clout and fame is not success. But that's what most people come from, that most people go for. They go for the clout and the fame. They say, well, if I'm no clout and I think I'm famous enough, that's going to bring the money. Doesn't happen that way. So that's where we're going. So they're going to look for whatever's popular.
Doesn't always happen.
Doesn't always happen that way. Yeah. You're right. Doesn't always. Because social media has changed that too.
I think it's got to get to the point to where if it didn't happen that way, then it wouldn't be an option to do it.
Right.
Because it's being viewed as the only option for doing it because of that.
And that is why I am a fan of Spotify's new payout structure. So, and a lot of people are pissed. They're like, oh, there you go, robbing the creators again. No. I love it. So just in a nutshell, without deep diving too much, and we will deep dive in on it. But in a nutshell, so Spotify is changing their payout structure where now you have to reach a benchmark before you even start getting paid. So now it's not about, because one, there are a lot of bots and all this kind of stuff that do these fake downloads, fake streams. So one is to try to eradicate that kind of stuff. So now you can't just be famous like that. Like, you literally have to have real downloads, which means real people have to actually like your music so much that they will pay for it or spend time listening to it. Real people. And in order to not fake that, there's going to be now a threshold you have to reach. Once you hit that threshold, Spotify's like, okay, now we'll start paying out. You see what I'm saying? I think that is a great first step to weed out the everybody can do it. Because that's where we are in music.
Sure.
The fact that you can do that thing on your phone. I hope my engineers here at Icon don't get me the wrong way. But I've seen a lot of my guys go from not knowing really anything training here and learning, mm-hmm. and now learning how to mix. And now they're starting to mix their first few records. But then when we get like Sony or whatever calling in and say, hey, we need a mix engineer, they wonder why I'm not really putting them on that list. I'm like, well, you just learned how to mix. Well, I'm a mix engineer. I'm a mix engineer now. Like, right? Mm-hmm. But you can go and find 50 up-and-coming rappers and mix their records. So you'll get 50 mixes under your credit. And guess what? They're in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And depending on what they're talking about, if it's ratchet enough or whatever, now they sell in hundreds and thousands. So it seems like you're this legit mix. No, not at all. What happened was the market has caused the quality requirement to come down. So now we're in this lane where almost anybody can do it. Mm-hmm. Almost anybody can do it. Can you imagine what the NFL would be like if just because you were fast and you were popular, you can get signed to the Eagles? I mean, it's just try to put yourself in that boat. What if just because someone can dunk a ball, right? This is why every and-one player couldn't make it in the NBA.
That's not necessary. So you know I have a... I don't necessarily agree with your take on this.
With my take on, be specific, that now everyone can do it?
Yeah. I think the gateway should stay open for everybody being able to do it. I don't think we should up the gatekeeper locks in order to control quality. I think we should
continue. But I never said that.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, so let me clarify. I don't think access and opportunity should be limited in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
However, I do think there should be a level to this thing.
No, that's required, you're the level. When Sony calls you and you don't put them in Sony's office, that's the level.
Right, and that's all I'm talking about. Yeah, that's really all I'm talking about.
I think that's enough. Because we've had the conversation about some NFL players that I know personally who got to play in the league and shouldn't have been in the league, but
I didn't mean to say any Garoppolos. I mean names.
people pull strings for friends, and that's the thing. Like, this nepotism exists everywhere, and that's going to continue. I think that the level playing field for access is going in the right direction. I just think we have to change our focus. And it does. It puts a bigger responsibility on us as creators to continue to raise the bar for what quality is, for what is standard and what is okay. Mm-hmm. And the people who are doing it should want to be better and should want to compete with the best. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you're not going to be a Leslie Brathwaite just because you mix 50 of the up-and-comers. Right. That's stuff that Leslie still knows how to do, that even with the access I've had, I still don't know how to do. Like, every time I've had a chance to talk to Leslie, I learned something. I'm like, damn, why am I just what? Mm-hmm. And that's going to continue to happen. There's certain things that you're not going to get just by doing it by yourself.
Like, I think your SoundClouds and all that kind of stuff, I think that's great for equal opportunity for all.
Yeah.
But once you get to the points where you're on your Spotify, your iTunes and things like that, I absolutely think there should be a gatekeeper there.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Where, you know what? You have to have done this. And in order for you to have done this, that means you're this good. Right? Okay. So I think that kind of thing. So you have to have done this in order to be allowed to distribute. Right? Okay. But again,
It turns into a catch-22 thing.
Yeah, because they're like, that's going to limit, because streaming is all about numbers.
Exactly.
Streaming is all about quantity.
Yes.
And I did a clip on this on the Music Business Coach. Yeah, it's all about quantity, not quality. So that Apple really, again, the companies, they're not so much concerned about the quality of it, per se. Right. So it is, you're absolutely right. It is a catch-22. So there's not much to say on that. So all I can say is, y'all, look, at the end of the day, I'm going to just put it to you like this. You know, whenever this comes out, the Raiders played horribly. I'm not a Raiders fan. I'm an Eagles fan. They played horribly. And they just acquired this player named Davante Adams, who's an amazing wide receiver. And they put him under a horrible quarterback. Now, the quarterback he wanted to play with, Carr, they played in college. So that's why he went over there. Not that Carr is the greatest quarterback in the world. Definitely better than Garoppolo. But they put him under Garoppolo. And, I mean, Garoppolo was just throwing interceptions in this game. He totally missed Davante wide open several times. Of course, Davante Adams is pissed, right? If you got on Twitter and you couldn't even look for this. And in your feed, you're going to see people calling for Josh McDaniels firing or trade Davante Adams because he deserves better. You couldn't get around it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's any coincidence that the next morning, Josh McDaniels was fired.
Whoa.
Now, am I sitting there saying that the front office was sitting there like, well, what do the people want? No, not completely. But am I also saying the front office is like, well, screw what the people want? No, because the moment the people say, you know what, I'm not coming to that game to watch this crap. Mm-hmm. Now you're touching front office pockets.
Right.
And when they see that that's a threat, how much the people cannot stand either the coach or the player,
right,
they're not going to give up Davante Adams because he's a dope player. So they're like, well, let's start at the top. Let's get rid of the coach. So I'm not going to say that it all had to do with social media. I think you'd be a fool to think that the people's voices didn't make somewhat of sense. So what I'm trying to say with that is, if y'all want to see better music, you got to start demanding better music, and you have to stop settling for worse music. I don't care if it does make you want to move, whatever. Get the freaking instrumental then, and put your own lyrics on top if you absolutely need a song on top of whatever. You know what I'm saying? But if the longer we start accepting your Sukihanas and your Sexy Reds and your, I hate keep calling these two out because there's a bunch of other out. I just can't think off the top of my head. But as long as you want to keep accepting, we did a podcast with one dude that gave a whole instruction on how to do wire fraud.
Yeah.
Like the moment y'all keep accepting this stuff, they're going to keep feeding it to you. So as always,
I'm not going to sit here and act like
power's in people's hands.
Yeah, I'm not going to act like we're not going to enjoy wanting to get ratchet. And we're going to want to turn up. We do. Back That Ass Up is still a hit. Every time it come on for the 99 of the 2000, everybody going to do what they do when Juvenile say that.
And this is where it's kind of like, which sin is worse, like stealing or robbing, right? It's like, it's both sin where if you're a believer's concerned, but it's where I go. It's like, to me, there's still a difference between Back That Ass Up and like, my booty hole is brown.
I mean, I'm not going to say it's not. I'm not going to say it's not.
There's just a difference. In the garden, and then it is right. Secret garden, right?
Oh, yeah.
Your secret garden, right?
Yeah.
Literally, look where we went.
I'm going to say this. There are examples of music like that all the way back to the 40s that were cut on records. Like, that it exists.
Ray Moore. Look.
Yes. I'm saying is that we, and I don't know if it's possible or not, we have to elevate consciously enough to be able to say, hey, I'm cool with having this for when it's time to have fun, but we need to be able to separate when it's time to have fun for actual enlightenment.
Well, you actually just said it. This is where I agree with you, and I think it's happening. The elevation of the consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
That is happening. Now, most people might not want to equate that to entertainment.
No,
but it's absolutely going to be connected.
Yeah.
And when people do start kind of, and look, you might not say Jesus in every other word, and you might not say God in every other word, and Holy Spirit, and say all the righteous right words, but the fact that there is does seem to be a move where people are becoming more aware of the fact that we are interconnected, mm-hmm. and that at the end of the day, love does win. And not meaning love is a let me do what I want to do type of love, but a love of, hey, your well-being means as much to me as my well-being does. So therefore, I will walk, talk, and treat you as such. Mm-hmm. Like that type of love. As that conscious, mm-hmm. and that move is happening, like that's so coming into the forefront, it's not even funny. As that happens, literally on a frequency level, the ratchetness isn't even going to resonate with you because you're now vibrating differently. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to become a dissonant. You see what I'm saying? So I do believe that's going to happen. Thank God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
thank you for coming to my TED Talk. That's all. Everything you just said is pretty much what I was saying when I was. That's what I was saying. That's what I was saying.
Like Jay-Z said, don't take the $500,000. Just listen to my album. You get the whole stuff. John's like, you know what? Just listen to every podcast. This is what I've been saying the entire time.
That's the whole time. That's it.
Man, so Life on Podcast, look, do better. Look, you had kids. Whether you wanted to have them or not, they're there. So go ahead and commit. Go ahead and commit to them. You know, give them a shot that you didn't have or a better shot that you had. Like seriously.
Oh, bring him a stone. He loves raising children.
Four feet. 4 feet. But I do have a track record. Thank you very much. StoneStafford.com. There you can find anything regarding me. LifeOnPodcast.com. That's everything regarding Life on Podcast. You can go to our socials and all that kind of stuff. We want to hear from you guys. Don't forget, I in life is for inspired, and L is for listening. So we want to hear back from you.
Just Johnny Vaughn, JustJohnnyVaughn.
Y'all know what it is. It is November. We are hanging on. 1 million subscribers, man, in 2023. I know it can happen. Josh McDaniels got fired overnight. So we can get 1 million subscribers in 60 days.
Yes, we can.
We love y'all. Thanks for listening. Please share, like, subscribe, and please tell a friend. All right, we out. Peace.